A few thoughts this evening from the book Desire of Ages as our opening Sabbath worship. I think this chapter in this book entitled The Sabbath is one of the most beautiful chapters ever written upon this particular subject. Begins, of course, with outlining the fact that the Sabbath was made at the beginning in creation before there ever was a fall. On page 283 we have this very beautiful thought in regard to the seventh day Sabbath. The Sabbath was not for Israel merely, but for the world. It had been made known to man in Eden, and like the other precepts of the Decalogue, it is of imperishable obligation. Of that law, of which the fourth commandment forms a part, Christ declares, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law. So long as the heavens and the earth endure, the Sabbath will continue as a sign of the Creator's power. And when Eden shall bloom on earth again, God's holy rest day will be honoured by all beneath the sun. From one Sabbath to another, the inhabitants of the glorified new earth shall go up to worship before me, saith the Lord. No other institution which was committed to the Jews tended so fully to distinguish them from surrounding nations as did the Sabbath. God designed that its observance should designate them as his worshippers. It was to be a token of their separation from idolatry and their connection with the true God. But in order to keep the Sabbath holy, men must themselves be holy. Through faith they must become partakers of the righteousness of Christ. When the command was given to Israel, remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, the Lord said also to them, you shall be holy men unto me. Only thus could the Sabbath distinguish Israel as the worshippers of God. Now this is the principal thought I'd like you to carry with you into the Sabbath day as we meet together in this building at the end of this camp meeting. Now the Jews, of course, in their day made a great deal of their Sabbath keeping as a distinguishing sign of them as a people. And this, of course, was based upon the Old Testament declaration that the Sabbath was the sign between them and God, that they were his people. And likewise today, the Seventh-day Adventist Church in the past has made a great deal of the Sabbath as a distinguishing feature of them as being the remnant church of God. We've all heard that, of course, in the days which have gone by. But you know, in the last 10 to 20 years, there has sprung up quite a number of Seventh-day observing churches. The most dominant and outspoken of which today is the Radio Church of God, headed up by Herbert W. Armstrong, a man who can, with tremendous effect and power, put forth the proof that the seventh day and not the first day or any other day is the day of God's worship. Along with that, of course, we have the Bible Sabbath Association and a great number of other bodies which observe the seventh day. Seventh-day Adventist Reformed Church, the Seventh-day Church of God. And I believe that in taking a census of Sabbath-keeping bodies, I should better say Seventh-day observing bodies, the Bible Sabbath Association listed by name over 30 in America alone. Now each of these, or at least many of these, point to the Sabbath as a mark or a sign that they must be God's true church. But we find that many of them teach doctrines which are simply outrageous denials of God's truth. Herbert W. Armstrong, for instance, completely denies a 2,200-day prophecy. He denies the sanctuary service in heaven, denies the new birth experience, and teaches that we shall not be born again until we get to the resurrection at the end of time, when Christ appears again in the clouds of heaven. He teaches the doctrine which found its origin in Syrian sophistry way back in the early centuries AD, and was then picked up by the Roman Catholic Church to combat the Reformation. That doctrine, which teaches 1,000 years of peace upon this earth, during which the Jews from Jerusalem will go out and convert the entire world in the second probation. In other words, doctrine after doctrine held by Herbert W. Armstrong denies present truth. Yet this man observes the seventh day. This means then that to merely observe the seventh day cannot possibly give to us a distinguishing mark as being God's people. In other words, there's much more to Sabbath observance than in the recognition of a certain day and the ability to prove that that particular day is the correct day that we should worship God. What is that difference? The answer comes to us right here in this paragraph. First of all, we read, no other institution which was committed to the Jews tended so fully to distinguish them from surrounding nations as did the Sabbath. God designed that its observance should designate them as His worshippers. It was to be a token of their separation from idolatry and their connection with the true God. But in order to keep the Sabbath holy, men must themselves be holy. And that, of course, is the key to the whole matter. At once, of course, this denies the belief of many folks that you can't be holy, because if that is true, then just nobody in the whole world can possibly keep the Sabbath. Through faith, they must become partakers of the righteousness of Christ. When the command was given to Israel, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, the Lord said also to them, you shall be holy men unto me. And that what follows, only thus could the Sabbath distinguish Israel as the worshippers of God. Now what does this mean? It means we must go through all these various Sabbath-keeping bodies until we find that one of them which has a living message which shows the way to what? Be holy. And when we find that group of people who have that message and as a result of it are living lives that God designates as being holy lives, and a holy life, of course, is one in which the power of God has taken away the old carnal nature and given you a new nature, then you found the Sabbath keepers, God's Sabbath keepers, God's true people. And our purpose and objective, of course, is to be that kind of people, and we can testify to the transforming power of God in our lives, so that as we enter this Sabbath day with that transforming experience behind us, then we can know what it means to keep the Sabbath and to keep it holy. Now in the last days, when we come to the last great final and finishing conflict, the issue is going to be basically a conflict between the power of God on the one hand and the power of sin upon the other hand. And as we have learned, the seventh day Sabbath is a symbol of God's power, while Sunday is a symbol of Satan's power. The Sabbath is God's flag, Sunday is Satan's flag. And so these two flags will weigh prominently in this last great conflict. Many folk imagine that simply because they understand the arguments in support of the seventh day Sabbath, they shall be able to stand valiantly on God's side. But then we shall learn it goes much deeper than that, that only those who have in their lives the presence of Christ's righteousness and therefore are true Sabbath keepers, only they shall stand successful on the right side in that battle. So may it be that this Sabbath day shall truly distinguish us as the worshippers of God, not just because we rest from our labours upon this day, not just because we know the arguments in support of the seventh day, but because God has occupied our soul temples, because His power has come in and occupied the soul, so that where His power is, there God's Sabbath is also. May God make this to each one of you a very blessed and a very holy Sabbath day. I ask Alan Sinclair now to Lead us in prayer.